We're going to direct our attention to that passage of Scripture that we read from Numbers chapter 16 a few moments ago. God had chosen Moses to lead his people, and Aaron, Moses' brother, was the spokesman for the two. You know, remember one of the excuses that Moses gave God when he called him at the burning bush was, "I can't speak very plainly." And God said, "Well, your brother can, and so we'll let him be your spokesman. I'll talk to you, and you can talk to him, and he can talk to Pharaoh and whoever we need to talk to." And eventually, Aaron became the high priest. And so these two men were leading the nation of Israel. And in every day, in every situation, there's always somebody that rebels against authority. There was a man named Korah. He was also from the tribe of Levi, as Moses and Aaron was. And he rose up against Moses. He had 250 princes, Bible says famous, men of renown. And they rose up against Moses and an Aaron, and they said, "You take too much upon yourselves. All of us are holy. Why have you taken the lead?" And Moses responded to Korah and says, "Hey, I haven't taken the lead. God has given it to me. I didn't want it. I told him he should get somebody else. But God said that he wanted me to do it. And so I'm being obedient to what he told me to do." And Moses says, "Tomorrow God will show you that he's selected me." And so they all got together tomorrow. Korah and the 250 princes that were with him took their censers. They were containers that contained fire, and they'd put burning coals in those censers and incense in there. And Moses says, you come before the tabernacle, you and all those that have sided with you. Bring your censers, and tomorrow you will see that God has chosen me to lead." So they got there, and God told Moses and Aaron, he says, "Hey, you stand back. I'm gonna consume all those that have rebelled against you. I'm gonna show the people that you are my selection to be the leader, and all those that have risen up against you, I'm just gonna consume." And Moses prayed and said, "God, why would you kill everybody for one man's sin? Just kill those that have rebelled." In fact, Moses says, "Do it in a way that's never been done before." And Moses and Aaron warned the people, said, "Hey, God's about to mete out his judgment. You separate yourself from these people." And you that know the story know that God did it in a very unusual way, in a way that he'd never done before. He opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and those others that had rebelled against Moses. Now, when we started reading in verse 41, that's where we are in the story. The next day, the people of Israel, they sort of got mad at Moses and Aaron. They said, "Hey, you've killed some of our friends. And the only reason you killed them is that you were jealous because they said that God didn't select you." And again, Moses said, "Look, I didn't kill them. I didn't make the earth open up and swallow them. God did that. It was God's doing." Well, when these people complained against Moses and Aaron this next day, God got angry with the people again. And he told Moses, and he came down in a cloud. The glory of God came down on the tabernacle. And God said to Moses, he said, "You and Aaron, get back. I'm not done pouring out my judgment on this people. I'm going to consume them." And the Bible says, as we read it, a plague went out from the Lord. Here's what Moses told Aaron. He said, "Aaron, God's going to kill them all. I'm going to pray. You go get your censer. You go get some burning coals from the altar, you put incense in it, and you go out among the people and you make atonement for them. You go out and with that fire and that incense, and I'll pray, you beg God to spare the people." The Bible says that in that plague there were 14,700 people that died. Now, on 9/11, there were about 5,600 people killed in the various plane crashes. Can you imagine almost three times that number, killed in a matter of seconds? 14,700 people. Aaron took that censer. He went to the altar. He got some coals off the altar. He poured some incense. He went running out among the people. And the Bible says he stood between the living and the dead. He stood between those that had already been killed and the plague, and he stood and stopped the plague of God from killing any more people. After over 14,000, almost 15,000 people had died. Now, here's my message this morning. I want to say to every Sunday school teacher, I want to say to everybody that sings in the choir, I want to say to all the ushers, I want to say to all the deacons, all the trustees, all those that come and clean the church on Friday, all those that serve any way at all in the church, I want to say to you this morning, I also want to say to every Christian dad, every Christian mom, every Christian grandpa, every Christian grandma, every Christian brother, every Christian sister, every Christian neighbor, every Christian co-worker, let me just make it plain and simple, I want to say to every Christian, you are one of God's Aarons. You stand between the living and the dead. You have a message from God. You have a cure from God. You have something from God that allows you to stand between the living and the dead. You stand between those that are going to heaven and those that are going to hell. You stand between those that have trusted Christ and those that have rejected him. You stand between those that have been justified and those that are still condemned because of their sin. You stand between those that face eternal bliss and those that face eternal damnation. You have a pill that makes the difference, and the pill that makes the difference is the gospel. The gospel makes the difference, and you have it as a Christian, and you stand between the living and the dead. You stand between a marriage that's alive and one that's dead. A marriage the way that God wants it to be, and a marriage that's dead and cold and hurting. You stand between a young adult who's decided to live for God and those that have decided to live for the devil. Those that have decided to believe in this book and live by this book and those who ignore it and live the way of the world. You stand between a teenager who has decided to give their life to God and those that have decided to live their life on their own. You stand between somebody like Timothy, who stayed at home and was obedient to his mother and his grandmother, and a son like the prodigal son, who took his part of the inheritance and left home and wasted it in riotous living. You stand between children who have decided to obey dad and mom and those that don't. Those who believe the promise that those that will honor their parents will have long life upon the earth and those that don't believe that promise. You stand between little babies who come to this church when they're little babies and they grow up in their church and in this church and they get their impression about God and the things of God and God's people. They get their impression from you and they're going to decide based on you if church is going to be a part of their life if they're going to walk away and have nothing to do with it. We're all God's Aarons. We all stand between the living and the dead. And this morning, I want to encourage you, as you stand between the living and the dead, to do the same thing that Aaron did when he went out and stood between the living and the dead. Four things I want to mention. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. In verse 45, it says, both of them, both Moses and Aaron, and they fell upon their faces. They fell on their faces to God in prayer. They begged God for the lives of their people. Don't ever try to stand between the living and the dead without spending time on your face before God, begging God for the lives of those that you stand between. Pray for them by name. Pray for them by need. Pray for them over and over. Ask God to do what only He could do. Ask God to be God in their lives. Some might ask the question, well, preacher, how long should I pray? I'm going to stand between the living and the dead. I understand what you mean by that, but how long should I pray? Well, let's think about it for a minute. You stand between those that are going to heaven and those that are going to hell. You stand between those that are going to get their sins forgiven and those that are going to die and go to hell to pay for their sins. You stand before a marriage that's a marriage the way that God wants it to be and a marriage that falls apart. You stand between a young person living their life for God and living their life the way they want to be. You stand before little babies that are going to get their impression about what the church should be and how if they should be a part of it as they grow up. You stand before those groups of people. How long do you think you should pray? How much prayer do you think those kind of decisions deserve? I think that's what the Bible means when it says pray without ceasing. We ought always to be in prayer. Look, we have the answer the world's looking for. We have an answer that makes a difference between whether people are going to heaven or hell. And as we stand before the living and the dead, we need to make sure that we bathe everything we do in prayer, asking for God's power, asking for Him to work as only He can work. So before he went to stand between the living and the dead, Aaron prayed. He prayed. Number two, he got fire from God. He got fire from God. He didn't go before he prayed, and he didn't go before he went to the altar and got the fire that burned on the altar from God. Jesus told his disciples the same thing in Acts chapter 2. He was getting ready to send them into the world, to stand between the living and the dead, to go and proclaim the gospel, to go and proclaim what makes the difference between heaven and hell. And he said, look, you don't go. You don't leave this place until you get that power that comes from on high. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. That fire, representing the Holy Spirit, gave them the power and the boldness and the ability to do what they could not do on their own, but what they could do in a mighty way with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those men went out from Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they turned the world upside down. They stood between those that died and went into a Christless eternity and those that went to be with Jesus forever in heaven. I know there's some things about the Bible that are hard to understand. There are some things that are hard to explain to people. There's some things in the Bible that are hard to make the application to our lives and to the lives of others. But listen, let me tell you, who do you think wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit told men what to write, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. Why would we go and stand between the living and the dead without getting the power of the Holy Spirit of God to go with us? It's foolish for us to try to do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, look, when you stand before men, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll put words in your mouth. We had a Sunday school teacher long, long time ago. They're no longer a part of our church. They moved away. They brought that verse to me and they said, preacher, I don't ever have to study my Sunday school lesson again. I said, why not? He said, that verse says when I stand before men, I don't have to worry about what to say, that God will put words in my mouth. I said, well, that verse is true and I believe it. But I believe if you study, it'll be easier for God to give you those words. If he starts out with a blank mind, it's going to be hard for him to fill it. But if he starts out with something in it, he can give you the words that you can say. I don't know if he ever agreed with me or not, but anyhow. You pray. You stand before the living and the dead. You pray. You get the power of the Holy Spirit. And then number three, you run. You run. Verse 47, and Aaron ran into the midst of the congregation. You see, Aaron ran because he had a sense of urgency about what he was about. He knew that people were dying. Over 14,000, almost 15,000 people had already died. He knew that what he had was going to make the difference. He knew that he had the answer to the problem of the hour. He knew that he had what every man, woman, boy, and girl needed that day to stop the plague from killing them. Let me remind you this morning, you too have that same thing. You have the answer. You have what the world needs. You have what the dead need to make them part of the living. You have what you have in this book, what that teenager needs, what that young person needs, what that little baby needs, what that marriage needs, what this world needs. You have the answer. It's in this book. It comes from God. And so run, run, run. The world is dying and going to hell. We don't have much time left. We need to be busy about the things that God has given us to do. And so he ran. And then number four, he stood. He stood. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. He stood until people stopped dying. He stood until the job was done. He stood until God said, "Okay, Aaron, you're done. I'm going to stop the plague. I'm not going to kill anybody else. You're done. And well done." In years to come, I realize this as a pastor. I realize this as a Sunday school teacher. And every Christian should realize this. I realize that in years to come, people may not remember one sermon that I preached. They may not remember one lesson that I taught. You as a parent, your children and my children may not remember one life lesson that we taught them. I hope they remember at least one, but they may not. But I want every single person to know this. Every single person to know this. You had a pastor who loved you and stood. Amen. And stood. I was looking at some of Dominique's pictures yesterday on the wall. I was in a couple of them. I said, "I can't believe how young I looked in those pictures." You know, I look in the mirror every day, but you don't realize how old you are until you look at yourself 30 years ago, and then you realize how much you've aged and how much padding you've added to your body. And again, I hope you remember a sermon or two I preached. I hope you remember a lesson or two I taught. But if you don't remember one sermon or if you don't remember one lesson, you remember that you had a pastor that loved you and stood. Amen. And stood. Now, I'm out of time, but let me stand between the living and the dead this morning. There may be some here this morning that's part of that group that's dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so you're in that group that's dead. You're headed for hell. You're headed for a Christless eternity. Let me tell you how to get into the living group. Let me tell you what you need to do. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That gift was purchased on Calvary when Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, went to the cross, and God laid on him every one of our sins. He died on the cross paying what we owed. He died on the cross paying our sin debt. He died on the cross suffering what the penalty that should be ours. If we got what we deserved, we'd all die and we'd go to hell and we'd be separated from God forever. But thank God we have a God that loved us so much even while we were sinners that he sent his Son to die in our place. This morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ, you're dead in your sins. You're headed for hell. But if you would admit you're a sinner, if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he is God's Son, and when he died on the cross, he was paying for your sins, and then if you would call upon him, the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This morning, let me remind you, God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to be part of that dead group. He wants everybody to have life. And that life only comes through Jesus Christ. The vast majority of people here have made that decision. They called on Jesus, and they moved from the dead to the living. Would you do the same thing this morning? You can. If you call on Christ, he'll save you. If you call on him, he won't refuse you. You call on him, he'll make you part of his family. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Prepare a place in heaven for you. He'll do all the things that a God who loves his children does. He'll do for you if you'll come and accept the gift of life that's offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? Now again, most of us are Christians. And again, my message was directed to us. We're Aaron's. We stand between the living and the dead. We need to do what God has called us to do. And we need to do it today. Today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this account that's in the book of Numbers and how it reminds us about the responsibilities we have as Christians. And I pray first of all, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that in the next few minutes, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of their sin. You would help them understand that Jesus is the only hope that they have, and you would help them make that decision to receive him this morning. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here, that you would help us realize the responsibilities that we have, that the ministry that you've called us to, that we all stand between the living and the dead because we have the answer. We know what works, and it's you, and it's your word. And so I pray you'd help us to be busy, standing, running, praying, getting the Holy Spirit power on our lives to do it. Just bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.